want you to read with me, if you would, from Proverbs chapter 6. And I'm going to read verses 16, 17, 18, and 19. Proverbs chapter 6, beginning at verse 16. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. Now, there's a total number that is included there that is seen in God's sight as being abominable to him. Those things that are included in this group are things that God sees as being as opposed to him, as rebellious to him, as standing in opposition to his righteousness. Now I want you to look with me at those seven things that Solomon calls out to our attention. You remember that Solomon was God's servant. Solomon was a perplexed man. Solomon was a man that did some very great things, and yet was a man who fell in some very deep sin as well in his own life. But God said of him that the wisdom that he had at the beginning of his rule was God's gift of wisdom. And Solomon didn't make it up. And God said through Solomon, now here are seven things that I hate, seven things that are opposed to me. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, an heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Now, I'm not going to try to go back and to call attention to all of the things that are included in that first list. I would encourage you to go back and read it. But I want to call your attention to two particular things that the Lord tells us about a portion of those things that he hates. Now, it's important for us to understand as we look at this that we're not talking about things that we have the right to try to convince God, well, this part of it's okay and that part of it may be bad, but if I want to do this part, it's not such a bad. God said these things in the conciseness of his statement and in the absolute nature of his statement, these are things that God hates and stands opposed to. So it's not up to us to argue ourselves, well, I don't think that that's what God meant exactly what he said. And I want you to notice with me the final two things that he mentions in verse 19 tonight. Verse 19, the first thing we're told in that verse is that among the things that God hates are a proud look, a lying tongue, and all of those things. But he gets to verse 19 and he says, a false witness that speaketh lies. A false witness that speaketh lies. We need to understand that we're talking about someone who makes a declaration of a legal nature as far as a witness or a testifying or a testimony toward the reality of someone else's life. Now, back up with me for a moment over into the book of Exodus. And you'll see in Exodus chapter 20 that one of the principal commandments that God gave to Israel had to do with this very same thing. Exodus chapter 20, and look at verse 16. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, against the person round about you, against the person who might be your family. It might be a person who lives down the street. It might be a person who has a business within town. The one thing that God says absolutely that we shall not do as God's children is that we shall not bear a false or an untrue witness against our neighbor. Well, now that question of our neighbor, remember, we won't go into all of it tonight, but you can go over into the New Testament and you remember that Jesus had somebody ask him, who is my neighbor? And you remember the parable that Jesus taught that we know of as the parable of the Good Samaritan. There was a man who was brutally beaten and left, and some of his own religious leaders and some of his own people around about him passed by and didn't touch him. But this man picked him up, cleaned him off, carried him into town, paid for his care. And Jesus asked the question, now, this man was a Samaritan, but who is really the neighbor? You see, we're not to bear false witness against anyone that has an impact in and around our life. Thou shalt not bear false witness. But now, this carries with it a little wider extension. God hates a false witness that speaketh lies. God hates an untrue statement that is based on an absolute assertion of that which you know is untrue to begin with. Lying lips, Solomon said, were an abomination to God. The fact of the matter is, God hates any effort that speaks opposed to someone else with words that we know are untrue to begin with. Well, they were about half. No, they're either all true or they're a lie. That was one of the things that I missed a great many questions on, true and false questions, when I was in school. When you read that set of questions, it's either true or it's false. It's either all true or it's totally false. There is no mixture when God looks upon what's being said. When there is a speaking, when there is a deliberate statement, when there is an action that affects someone else's lives, and we know that what we're saying is untrue to begin with, God stands opposed, and there is no justification for that action. Look in Proverbs chapter 17, just a moment. Proverbs chapter 17, look with me in verse 15. He that justifieth the wicked, and he that condemneth the just, even they both are an abomination to the Lord. To say that evil is good is an abomination to God. To say that the just are wrong in what they've done is an abomination to God. Both sides of that statement are equally true. You see, beloved, we have to have the balance in our mind before God that God, all of His Word is true. God cannot lie, God does not lie, and God does not tolerate our lying. That's not a matter of legalism. It's a matter of our recognition that that's the nature of our God. And for us to try to condemn the just and to try to excuse the wrong, both in God's sight are a wrong thing. They're lies. If somebody is just and right in what they've done, and for us to say, no, that's not good, that's not right, they didn't do what they ought to, then we're calling God a liar. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 15. There are several of these verses, but I will somewhat narrow it down with the last two. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 5. A false witness shall not be unpunished. punished. And he that speaketh lies shall not escape. Now, I'm going to tell you something, my friends. A rather sobering statement of truth. I may shadow you, and I may get by you with what I do, but I will not escape God's standard of righteousness. I will stand before the one who hates this statement of lying lips. And then look at chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 9. A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall perish. Well, I don't believe God does that. Well, that's your problem. God does what he says he's going to do. Whether I'm willing to say that I believe or I disagree is not really the point. The point is, this is what God himself says. God sees our lying lips as being opposed to his truth. And remember that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Now look at the seventh of the things that he made. And this one somewhat goes along with it. But notice with me in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 19, the seventh thing that is mentioned: he that soweth discord among brethren. He that deliberately spreads information that formulates strife and discord between God's family, between our own families, between our church families, between our communities, where we take those things, that we would spread a circumstance that causes strife between people. He that soweth discord among brethren. God sees that action as opposed to himself, especially as his word tells us that we are to love one another as he has loved us, that we are to strive to walk together in unity, in the unity of the Spirit, where there is an effort that grows out of the functional purpose of our mind and the instrumentality of our tongue that separates people. God hates that action. Now you think about that, folks. Think about much of our political system. Think of much of our advertising system today. Think about a whole media system where this group is shown as being divided from that one, and where people strive to separate people for gain. God says God hates that action. Look with me in Proverbs chapter 16, verses 27 and 28. An ungodly man diggeth up evil. Now, notice that God puts a descriptive word on that action. A man who digs up evil. And that word digging up evil implies that he's searching for dirt on somebody else. There is a target of what he's digging up. That this individual who diggeth up evil is described as an ungodly man. You see, folks, when we set out to dig up untruth, there's no way that we can say that we're trying to behave in a godly way. An ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is as a burning fire. Now, burning fire. Have you ever watched a wildfire spread through an area? It moves very quickly. And you may start it as a small fire. That don't mean it's going to stay that way. I remember when I was a young boy, about 9 or 10 years of age, that our family was trying to burn off a portion of a field. And we sat that fire, and all of a sudden things around it changed, and it took off. And it damaged barns, it crossed fence lines, it got into other people's property. It was totally beyond our control, and all we could do was try to beat it out a little bit at a time. And there was a lot of damage that occurred. You see, when we set out to dig up dirt against someone, the very idea of that statement is that it's in opposition to, and we're digging up something that is to be used against that person. That person is not only an ungodly man in his plans and his purposes, but what comes out of his mouth is as a fire. Verse 28. A froward man, a fraudulent man, soweth strife. He plants the seed, but he knows that his aim in planting it is strife. Satan plants his seed to divide and to make strife among God's people. You remember the picture that's given to us in Matthew chapter 13 of the wheat and the tares, that the enemy of the Lord sowed tares that came up to damage the Lord's fields. He deliberately sowed that which was untrue. Now, folks, what I want you to see is that God says to us that to strive, to separate, and to divide is an unjust action in God's sight and cannot be in any way pleasing to God. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 19. He that loveth transgression, he loveth transgression, the missing of the mark, a sinful position. He loveth transgression that loveth strife. When we set out to sow strife, the thing that's uppermost in our mind is transgression, is missing God's standard of righteousness. He loveth transgression that loveth strife, and he that exalteth his gate seeketh destruction. He becomes a whisperer. He separateth friends. How many friends have been separated by deliberate action of revenge, or even of just joking? Oh, I was just having fun. You understand the consequence doesn't fit that description. When we set out to separate friends, one of the things that we have to recognize is that puts us in a position, because people want to separate, because people want to sow strife. Each one of us is put within a position as God's child that we must be responsible for doing everything that we can personally do not to fall victim in that same thing. Listen, Paul is writing in Romans chapter 12, verse 18. Well, let me begin reading with verse 17. Romans 12, verse 17. Recompense, pay out to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. That pretty well takes lying lips out of the picture, doesn't it? If it be possible, here's the verse that I want you to know. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. As much as lieth within you. Well, they started. I don't care if they did start. The question is, how are we behaving before God? You see, folks, we can't be the one to run and divide friends. We can't be the whisperer. We can't be the talebearer. God gives us the instruction that as much as lies within us, as God's children, that we would strive to live peaceably with all men. That statement takes away any personal justification for saying, yeah, but. There are no buts in God's economy of things that He hates. Where He makes the statements, He makes an honest assessment. And our challenge is not to try to convince Him otherwise. Our challenge is not to make our agenda fit somewhere else. Our challenge is to hear the word of the Lord and to so commit ourselves that we would walk opposed to those things that God says He is opposed to. Father, help us as we live in this world today that's often shattered by glitz and glamour. It's often twisted by words. It's made to sound one way, and yet the very words that are given are words that are untrue, and they're designed to separate. Those things still go on in the world round about us. Father, the real issue is that there are things that You say that You are opposed to and that are opposed to You. If You have designated in that way, Father, may we stand opposed to them. Not in belligerence, not in anger, not in animosity. May we stand in righteousness. Father, help us all, as much as lies within us, rather than to find a way to get back at somebody, but as much as lies within us, we would live peaceably with all men. Lord, help us for Christ's sake is my prayer. And amen. Thank you, dear friend, for being with us tonight. Again, I realize that without the ability to have much worship and singing, it cuts our time much shorter. But I pray that the word of the Lord would be that which would be beneficial to you tonight. I invite you to come, plan to be with us. At very least, we'll be back on Facebook next Lord's Day. And if circumstances improve and our situation is better, next Sunday is kind of our decision date as to whether or not we will be able to get back together. So you pray for the Lord's healing hand upon us and that we might be able to be together next Lord's Day. May the Lord bless and keep you is my prayer for Christ's sake.